Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former president of the San Francisco 49ers, Carmen Policy, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Carmen, it's always a treat to have a chance to speak with you. How's the wine these days? You treating yourself well?
I'm treating myself well. The wine's drinking well. And the Napa Valley's been beautiful. Obviously, we're only partially open, but people seem to really enjoy it when they're up here. And I hopefully we're heading back towards more normalcy come August. And I really have no complaints to level.
And as a result of us being in a sports-free environment, we've had to be creative here on 95.7 The Game, and we've rolled out our top 10 greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. Ronnie Lott comes in at number 8. When you think about Ronnie Lott and the lasting impression, not only of his play on the field, but who he was in the community, you can see the justification of having him on this hallowed list, can't you, Carm?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, first of all, he brought so much to the locker room and to the game. And the game, not only the game that the 49ers played, but I'm talking about the game of professional football. And he made a difference the moment he was drafted and the moment he stepped foot on 49er territory. You know how we all feel about Joe Montana and the impact Joe Montana had on the team as the quarterback. Well, Ronnie Lott was basically the quarterback of the defense. And the first person that will stand up and look you in the eye and say, we don't have 5 Super Bowls without our defense, is Joe Montana. And he presented a warrior attitude, but at the same time, he became a mentor. Even as a young player, he was a mentor because he had such character built into every element of his being. He not only played like a champion, he lived like a champion. I just can't say enough about him. And what we're seeing today is that he was not one-dimensional. He was not a great player, yes, a great athlete, yes, but he never grew beyond that. What you're seeing today is this is one great human being who's done so much, not only for the sport that he loved and that loved him, but also for his community as a whole and for the people he touched.
No question.
I don't know. I put him in a class all to his own.
Sure, sure. And when you're talking about Ronnie and you're talking about what he is as a person, what made him, in your opinion, just so unique and feared on the field? What was that it factor, in your opinion, Farman?
I think he was raised with proper values, but I think he had a sense of strength, character, and he was his own man. Sometimes to the point of being too much his own man. But that was something that developed into a fine art, if you will, as he started maturing. You didn't step on him or anyone that he was responsible for. You didn't even have to be a friend. If he was responsible for someone, you didn't step on them either. And everybody in that locker room felt it. And I have to tell you that this guy, I hate to use these probably, age-old cliches, but he was a man's man. And everyone recognized it, whether you were from the the second floor of the building, the front office, or whether you were from the locker room, or whether you were from some other second floor or locker room. This was a man's man. And I mean that in every sense of the word, both on the field and off the field. So he just, you talk about somebody having a presence. He had a presence without question, still does.
Sure.
But his presence just exuded respect. And I was stunned, actually, when I saw what an immediate impact this young guy had on our entire team. And I feel so honored to not only have been exposed to a guy like this, but to be able to call him a close personal friend.
Carmen Policy joining us here on 95.7 The Game. I've talked to some NFL scouts throughout my career, and I've heard about what they go through. A guy might live in Texas, and he's responsible for covering a region from Texas all the way up to Minnesota and over to Mississippi. There are so many schools and so many players in that area. These teams are always looking for an edge, but you have a salary cap, right? And I think to myself, prior to free agency, the Niners were just so good at identifying and drafting talent, drafting Joe Montana, drafting Jerry Rice, drafting Ronnie Lott. The list goes on and on. Those are just some of the marquee names. I've often wondered, how come teams don't seem to dump more money into the scouting process? Obviously, I guess it's financial, but to hire just a handful of additional scouts to go out there and make the burden a little bit less for the guys that are out there might give you that much more of a chance of finding the next Jerry Rice. Do you see what I'm getting at here? You guys kind of had the blueprint for that, and I don't think enough teams have tried to invest as much money in the draft.
Well, you're absolutely right. The personnel department of a football team is the lifeblood of that team, and it's the personnel department that brings the information and basically exposes the people making the decisions to the best possible data and the best possible opportunities that will allow them to make the good decisions. And good scouts are worth their weight. I don't know. Is there something more valuable than gold? Whatever that material is that's more valuable than gold, that's what the really good scouts are worth. And Dallas used to be pretty good at it. I'll tell you, Dallas was ahead of the game. And Al Davis had his little, shall we say, hidden secrets that he would use when evaluating talent that worked perfectly for him in his time, in the early times. But as people started understanding and growing and so forth, they caught up with Al, and they understood some of the things he was doing. And you know the NFL, it is the perfect mimic league and the perfect mimic environment. You do something good in the NFL, everybody's on it, and everybody's right on it pretty quick. So I think we had a darn good scouting department, and then you can't take it away from Bill Walsh. You know, he had this unique sense of evaluation when it came to talent, when it came to not only talent on an individual basis. He was able to recognize the balance of the locker room, the balance of the team. So there may have been somebody talented, but he would know whether or not bringing that somebody with their personal makeup and character was going to enhance the team as a whole or draw from it and distract it. And I think he was the wonderful chemist that always kept things in balance. And when he came out with some kind of a wonderful, shall we say, vaccine for the team, there were little or no side effects.
Incredibly well put, Carmen, in this time of a global pandemic. What was it like in that moment when you draft Ronnie Lott, Eric Wright, and Carlton Williamson in the first three rounds, and then Bill goes out there and starts them as rookies? How scary was that from a front office standpoint to have three of your four secondary guys all be rookies?
I sat back and said, wow, these young guys are pretty good, but we're in another rebuilding year. And I thought, oh, it's going to be fun to watch. We're not, you know, we'll probably have no shot at the playoffs, but we're going to get better and wait for 1982. Okay? And then all of a sudden, I mean, you could imagine what Eddie and I were going through as one win after another. beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, beat the Redskins in, I don't know what they're going to be called now, but beat the Redskins in Washington. And we look like we're actually a football team. And then, you know, Fred Dean comes and lays havoc to the Dallas Cowboys during the regular season. And we're scratching our heads, and we're almost afraid to believe that we are as good as we are. And I just, I was along for the ride, and I enjoyed every mile of it. But you have time for a quick Ronnie story?
Of course. For you, anything.
So, if you'll remember, Eddie and I wound up, per Eddie's, not instructions, but insistence, we were going to take it upon ourselves to extend Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, and Ronnie Lott's contracts after the first Super Bowl. And you all know the story about Joe and Dwight coming back to Youngstown and how they left with Eddie's cars and a big contract after a tequila-ridden pool game with Eddie after I went to bed. But so we're coming out to Rockland training camp, and Ed says, okay, it's time. You got to sit down with Ronnie now, and let's get Ronnie extended. I said, I don't know. Ed, I'd rather work with Ronnie's agent. That's the right way to do it. It's too, you know, Ronnie's a different kind of guy. I don't want to be talking business and money with Ronnie. I don't think you should either, but let's be more than fair with the end result, but let's deal through his agent, who he respects, and I know, and I think I could work with. He said, no, I want to show him the same courtesies and respect we show Joe and Dwight. So we're going up to camp, and I said, all right. He says, well, why don't you see him while we're at camp? So I left word with one of the, I don't know who the assistant coach was I left for. It wasn't George Seifert. It was somebody on the defensive side of the ball that I just wanted to see him after practice. Now, you know, we used to do the two-a-days up there, and you know how hot it was. So I was in the makeshift office there at the community college. Ronnie comes in, fully dressed in uniform, wearing his helmet. And he looks at me and he says, you want to see me? I said, well, yeah, I wanted to see you, but I thought, you know, you'd take a shower. Maybe we'd have lunch together. Or maybe we'd have a lemonade or something like that. You don't have to. No. If you want to see me, let's do it now. What can I do for you? And I said, well, Ronnie, I went into a long story about all the, you know, respect we have for him and so forth and so on. And when he said, yeah, okay, but what do you want to see me about? At that point, I made an executive decision. I said, Ronnie, I just want you to know that we think the world of you, and I'm going to call your agent, start negotiating with him, maybe before we leave Rockland. And I wanted you to know that in advance so that it didn't come as a surprise to you when you heard from your agent. I said, normally we'd want to talk to you directly, but I know you would much rather I talk to the agent.
Wait.
And he said, absolutely. Call Leonard Amato. He'll handle all that stuff. You want anything else? I said, no. He said, okay, see ya. You think I was going to start talking about negotiating a contract with that guy at that time? And so Eddie said, how did it all go? I says, oh, it went great, Eddie. He recommended I call the agent, talk to him, and so forth. He was intimidating as hell, I'll tell you. But he's such a good guy. You know, he's just such a good guy.
Former president of the San Francisco 49ers, Carmen Policy, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mr. Policy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. Be well. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
You know I always love being on with you guys because you're, first of all, great in and of yourselves, but you always bring back those memories for me. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.